shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back to Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies and we make fun of them. I almost forgot our own catchphrase there.
It's a new catchphrase.
A new catchphrase for a new era. For a new era, yes. I will be one of the interim hosts on the show.
Right. Curator.
Yes, interim curators. If you have noticed. Whoa.
I just needed to establish a power play here because Cody told me not to bang the table. Yes. So I needed to show that I'm not afraid.
I'm scared.
Alex Dunbar recently had his wife has children. His two twins.
Congratulations, Mr. Dunbar.
He will
go
not,
procreation.
Yes. So he will not be with us for a while. Probably a long, long time.
Probably till they're 18.
Yes. He may sound like he wants to come back, but he has two kids at home now, so he probably won't be back for a while. But in the interim, we will be forging on.
Yes.
There's also some other change coming up that we'll talk about in a few minutes. But first, I will introduce. We have Nick Newhart here. He's going to be a guest with us for a bit.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, and of course, Brian Mueller.
And there's another.
No, wait a minute. Haven't introduced the movie yet. So are we? Is this the part where we do the quotes?
Well, there's a lot going on right now. Please. So we need to establish the new, sort of the new way of things. Because not only is Alex Dunbar taking a hiatus because of his children, but our good friend and yours, Brian Mueller, is going to be heading off to Oklahoma City, and he's going to be still involved in the podcast, but not, you know.
I'll be like a ghost, kind of. I'll be. You'll hear me, but I won't be physically around.
Yes. I thought it was important to mention that.
And I also need to be paid.
Yes. Pay the host.
Yeah, continuing.
The check is in the mail.
We also have Kathleen Shockey here with her first appearance on the podcast.
Hi. Been
trying to get her on for a while.
Absolutely.
And then the loud one is Jack Estabrook.
Hi! I don't know. You said the loud one. Charlie!
You don't have to try, Jack.
That's my only... Well, I just wanted the attention.
So. Your mic's not even plugged in,
yes.
Actually.
Oh, I should have let it down. But the movie this week is Pay the Ghost, which is a recent Nicolas Cage one, right? It was a direct-to-DVD.
Yeah, I think it had limited release, according to Wikipedia. Yeah,
like 2 months ago?
Emphasis on limited and not release.
it just came out on DVD, I know, a couple months ago. We wanted to try to get Nicolas Cage back on the podcast one more time, and
he's so valuable to it. Without Nicolas Cage, I don't think we'd have half of the material. But
he might set the record for the most movies ever made, considering like at this point he's churning out like 5 direct to DVD.
When you got a tax bill that big to pay. Yeah.
Goddamn, Bernie Madoff.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed we didn't get a Trespass Nicolas Cage in this one, but it was still Nicolas Cage. He was still present.
It was a very subdued Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
I was highly disappointed.
Yeah. He wasn't terrible in this one, but
no.
So I guess getting right into it, the movie opens with I don't even know.
Well,
some kids under
one of my favorite things ever in movies. One of those little date and time stamps. The audience isn't confused.
It's like 1679.
Old New York settlement, which I think was called New Amsterdam. At that time, I don't know the history behind it.
Are you saying this movie is not historically accurate? Because they called it New York.
This movie's not historically accurate.
It was New York, Jack.
Maybe it was. I don't know.
Well, one of the first,
not New Amsterdam.
One of the first, I watched it with Kathleen last night, and one of the first things she complained about was the fact that there was apples in the movie that shouldn't be there in 1679.
Okay, they were really big, like, grocery store apples in these people's, like, cellar. And I'm like, there's literally no way those would have existed. Yeah. Johnny Appleseed wasn't around yet.
New York has always been very popular for apple picking. You know,
she also said they should be speaking Dutch
too. They were
precursors.
I did say they should be speaking Dutch.
But no, they go out of their way to say that they're Celtics. But even then, they wouldn't be speaking English. I think. Well, they
would be. You're spoiling the movie, Jack. Come on.
Damn it.
So
spoiler alert.
So it starts with these little kids under the floorboards of an old house. And they hear something upstairs, and then
kind of a ruckus.
Yeah, obviously someone's.
Give us your apples from the future. What is this miracle food that you provided for us? We can sustain indefinitely.
witchcraft apples.
And rule the world.
That's why they're so nice. The apples are so nice as witchcraft.
Yeah.
It all ties back to the apples.
They're fertilized with witchcraft.
They're
fertilized with children.
Let's give this movie some credit. Maybe this is like a metaphor for, like, you know, the apple and the forbidden fruit of knowledge.
No.
Tempting with things that you mustn't understand.
You're giving way too much credit to this movie.
You already put more thought into the movie than the filmmakers did.
So they're on the floorboards. They hear something upstairs, and then everything, like, I think it's quiet, and then the floorboard, like, explodes at them, and then it cuts to the credits, opening credits.
Yeah,
you don't really find out what happens there until later on the movie.
Generic,
yeah.
Kind of.
And I actually forgot about this scene until later on the movie.
Gauzy-looking.
So.
Yeah.
I think they took this scene from later on in the movie and then just glued it to the top to get, like, a little bit of a scare at the beginning.
Yeah,
it
really didn't.
And it was scary.
The movie's very slow
it didn't
until a certain
the
point, but.
So yeah, so then after the credits it goes to modern day and Nicolas Cage his wife and his kid are home.
Yeah.
And his kid is
he sees something out the window
right.
And he's scared and his mom assures him that everything's all right, but says, "All right, fine, you can sleep in here for the night," or whatever.
Yeah. And then he's talking about how, you know, "Oh, when's dad gonna get home?" You get the whole sense of the whole thing with the father not being
the overused plot device in horror movies that the father is absent until the kid goes missing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he changes his ways.
Yeah.
What I want to know is Nicolas Cage,
just
he's like working at the library and then he only realizes what time it is when he sees his phone's about
phone
to die.
Time.
If his phone was like properly charged, would he have just stayed there the whole
night? All night, yeah.
I will say I was happy to see yet another college professor lecture scene.
I was
but this
that.
One was not as nearly as ridiculous as 88 Minutes or...
I was confused. I thought it was a National Treasure sequence for, you know, or sequel rather, for the first 20 minutes of the movie.
It did seem that way.
Yeah, it starts historically 1679.
True. That's true.
He's
a liar.
Maybe they started making a National Treasure sequel and just kind of.
They are making a third one.
Are
maybe
they?
They're using
with
footage.
Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you got a big movie.
I mean, you can't make a National Treasure without Nick Cage.
He is
like
a National Treasure.
Yeah, he's a National.
It's like making a James Bond without James Bond.
It's true.
It's true.
Can't do it.
So the father, Nicolas Cage, he's at the library and his phone goes off and he sees his dying and he realizes how late it is. So he goes home. He goes home to his wife, who basically says, or he goes home to his kid. It's the day before Halloween. He's like, "We bought this pumpkin. I want to make a jack-o'-lantern with you. And you weren't here." He's like, "Oh, we'll make it tomorrow." Which, of course, you know, they're not going to make it tomorrow. He's like, "I promise we'll make it tomorrow." So he goes with his wife and she says, "Oh, if you don't make that jack-o'-lantern tomorrow, he's going to be very angry at you." And then they do it. Very weird.
Yes.
They didn't. They
no,
just
they didn't.
Were kissing.
Oh, like you don't know where that led.
Come on, it's Nick Cage.
Yeah.
This isn't.
He bats 1,000 when it comes
better,
to.
You can't get better with Nick Cage. And,
when Nick Cage gets on base.
You apparently never saw Drive Angry.
Yeah.
Never saw Drive Angry.
Mr. Charisma Nick Cage.
I did see Drive Angry, and now I understand. I was incorrect.
When Nick Cage gets on base, he's coming around to score.
My assumption was incorrect.
Yes.
Nick Cage has got that charm.
So he also mentions here too that he's waiting for some letter. He's the reason he's been working late is because he's been waiting for a letter and he's trying to write an article and I don't know. There's some he's like waiting on this letter to give him good news. I guess you're left to assume that it's something to do with his job.
It's basically said he's a professor at some unnamed New York college and he's waiting to get a letter saying that he's reached tenure.
Yeah. So he's been working late just to
neglecting his family.
Yes. And
there was a very
Cage collecting his family.
There was a very cliched shot that was just so cliched. I actually kind of loved it. The kid's shooting some toy gun and shoots a picture of the family. It falls over and
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, he's got like the kid. Okay, so it's Halloween and the kid's like a pirate, and he says to his dad, "So what are you going to be for Halloween?" And he's like, "Oh, you'll see. Like it's going to be this special thing.
A shark or something."
And then when we finally, you know, Nicolas Cage misses the trick-or-treating, so he feels bad, but he says, "Well, I'll take the kid to this Halloween carnival."
But he does get tenure, we have to mention that.
He does dress like a cowboy.
He gets his letter the next day.
Which isn't special. Like, I thought maybe he'd do something.
Well,
he
probably just threw it together. He probably didn't actually
have
a
costume. Working hard, Jack. He doesn't have time to make a big elaborate costume.
It wasn't a horrible costume. I'm just saying it was kind of like they
did. You know, Jack,
you
know, Nicolas Cage has got a lot of pressure. He's trying to make tenure.
Now, here's a question about the
hat.
And you're
poo-pooing his outfit, his costume?
That's right. This guy makes coin, okay? He's a tenured professor.
Well, now he does.
No, he's not a tenured professor yet.
He just got it.
He just got it. Exactly. Next year he'll dress up in something really cool. Well, assuming his next kid doesn't go missing.
He'd be like he'd be like a movie accurate Predator costume, complete with
you know. Ooh, that's good. I was Predator 1 year for Halloween.
Were you really?
Yeah. Mm. Wasn't movie
Jack
accurate
Jack was
though.
A Predator 1 year for Halloween.
Yeah. Well, that's every year. That's why Jack can't go out on Halloween anymore.
That's not cool.
I went over there one day.
Jack has to turn the light off on his board.
I know. I was gonna say it was really cool. It was really tough playing board games on Halloween last year since the lights were all off. I couldn't see. Anyway,
it was.
And I didn't see you wearing your costume, but
it was Twister that was
probably because it was dark.
Correctly, it was Twister.
That was it, and that was your hand.
Well, yes, it was my hand. Okay, we'll go with that.
Going back to Halloween, though, they had like some foreshadowing that something was going wrong when Nick Cage didn't like come home, and then they had you know, a big turkey vulture.
Oh yeah,
the yelling at the
foreshadowing.
Kid.
What do you mean foreshadowing? It like could have been the vulture, the random clouds of darkness descending on the street, the creepy
scarecrow
pagan
woman.
Images he's drawing in school.
The scarecrow woman,
the ghost woman. Yeah.
I also want to.
What image? What foreshadowing?
I want to point out that the kid had a drawn-on eye patch, and that really bothered me.
That was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, I have never
probably
seen.
They forgot the prop or the costume that.
Well, this is
like
two,
drawn-on.
This is like two costume fails. Now I can imagine behind the scenes, like hours of like conversation about does Nicolas Cage wear a cowboy hat? Nicolas Cage doesn't want to wear the cowboy hat.
I feel like that was his
we
decision.
Want him to wear the cowboy hat. Well, I don't want to wear the cowboy hat. All right, fine. And then a similar discussion going on with should we give the kid an eye patch? Well, we want the kid to use his eyes to be expressive. So why don't we paint the eye patch on? But who does that?
No one. That's,
exactly.
That was my other
because
big
problem.
Because
that's the fun of dressing up is you get to wear the eye patch.
Yeah, why be a pirate if you're not going to wear the eye patch?
Something horrible must have happened. They must have forgotten the eye patch last minute.
The movie.
And where do you get an eye patch at the last minute?
So, so they keep seeing this vulture. The kid keeps seeing this vulture. This like really bad CGI vulture, and it just kind of flies around and creeps him out.
It's when he's out with his mom because his dad once again neglected to come home to carve the pumpkin.
Yeah. Well, he was trying to get home. Like, he couldn't get a cab, and he
of
had
course.
To, like, run and home.
Excuses.
An intense scene of trying to get a bus or a cab.
Well, it was weird because
no,
he went to...
bus scenes later.
He went to the other professor. When he gets his letter of tenure, he goes to this other professor, and he's, like, talking to her about it.
Old German Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah, so...
At first, I thought it was Gwyneth
true.
Paltrow. Like, I got very confused for a moment, then I realized, oh, okay, it's a completely different
Gertrude
actress.
Paltrow?
Yes, her cousin.
But, so... Like, I didn't understand why he's wasting time talking to this woman about his tenure when he knows he has to get home. Like, I thought they were setting up, like, oh, maybe they're having an affair.
Yeah, I thought they were having an affair, too.
Yeah, but it's like, that didn't go anywhere.
And she shows him some piece of wood from the 1600s in New York City, and you're like, oh, maybe this has something to do with, like, the rest of the movie.
I think that was, because I was thinking about that at the end, I think it was just to set up the fact that she knew symbols or something, like, that was her job.
Latin numbers or whatever.
Yeah, they're just, it was just like
Most of us know Roman numerals.
Yeah.
So
Roman numerals?
Roman numerals.
We all know Roman numerals.
Most of us know the Roman numerals. Say they wrote the numbers.
But I majored in Roman numerals.
I did think that would come like the fog or something, like the old.
Yeah, that's
ship
what
or,
I thought.
Yeah.
It was.
But
you
that
know,
didn't really go anywhere either.
This V symbol means five. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
There's a few things in this movie
that's why you're a professor. You can read.
there are a few things in this movie that didn't go that I expect to go places they didn't go anywhere. So then he's trying to get home. He misses a cab. He can't get a cab. He finally gets home, and there's like a letter on the door that says, "Oh, we went trick or treating without you," because his wife and his kid are out trick or treating in like the middle of the day. I don't know why they didn't wait till night, anyways. But
what the hell?
So yeah, so they try to get home, or the mother and kid finally come home, and he's there in his cowboy costume. And he's like, "Oh, I'm dressed up now," and the kid's like, "Oh." And the kid wants to go to this carnival.
Can we go to the carnival, can we?
Which is around the block. And he's like, oh, let me take him to the carnival because he missed out on trick-or-treating. So I was like, yeah, okay, take him to the carnival. So they go around the corner to the carnival. And,
This is a crazy
carnival.
The
kid's got his handy-dandy cam.
Kind of scary.
Yeah, the kid's got a camera. He's, like, shooting everything. Which I thought that was going to go somewhere too, but it didn't.
Yeah. They didn't even look at the footage, really.
Because he gets the ghost on video, but no one ever sees that.
Yeah, he does at the end of the movie.
But he doesn't even get to that part. Because the kid's shooting video, and he pans over to this, like, alley, and this creepy woman standing there, and she's like, there's a ghost.
She points at the kid like he's chosen.
And it's, like, obvious that she's not, like, a reveler.
And by the way, whenever I see Nick Cage now around like kids with masks, I just I'm expecting him to like flip off their mask, like take off the mask, take off the mask, like Wicker Man style.
That's just there were some Wicker Man moments here, but the biggest moment here is when Nicolas Cage, of course, is buying ice cream for his son, and then the kid says, "Dad, can we pay the ghost?" And he says, "What does that mean?" And the kid is gone. And I was expecting him to say, "It's Left Behind all over again. All the kids have been taken."
Also, true. I didn't make that connection.
I do want to make note. I realize it's New York City, but $6 for an ice cream cone.
Yeah. Well, it's a carnival. They jack up the price.
Yeah, they still.
That's ridiculous.
Well, he's and a 10-year like professor.
The cop that Nick Cage turns to doesn't do shit.
Yeah, so he...
But the cop should have at least done something about the price of ice cream. That is
wrong. Excuse me, officer, there's been a crime. This ice cream is way too expensive. And my son's missing.
But can I at least get $3.50 back for my cone?
So, so Nick Cage's son is... He's holding his hand, all of a sudden he's gone. So he just spends like 5 minutes running around the carnival yelling, Charlie.
This Charlie! Is where I thought it was kind of Charlie! Worker madness.
And then the cop's like... Your son probably just went home.
Yeah, he finds the cop. The cop's like, "Sure, you okay?" And he's like, "My son, he's missing. And the
he's got this hat. How did he get burned?
And the cop's just like, "Oh, maybe he went home." And so Nicolas Cage just runs home. You know, and it was like the least, like, I would say that I at the time he it does. Was the and worst it, cop I'd ever seen. But later on in the movie, the other cop is pretty bad, too.
Well, it gets, and he does. It's not like, no. He just disappeared. It's possible he just got swept up, and if someone took him, he might be still in the crowd, or if he just got lost, he's still in this crowd. I highly doubt he went home, but Nick Cage is like, "Oh yeah, in the 5 minutes that my son went missing, a cop said go home, so I ran like 8-10 blocks, or however long, far they live away from this carnival,
your
to the
7-year-old
house.
Totally beat you home."
Yeah.
So. I could watch a gif of Nicolas Cage running in that cowboy outfit all day. He has such a distinct way of running. It's like so labored.
Yeah, I thought that later when he was running away from the paramedics, he looks like running very slowly.
It's not even like because he's a little older now. Like I remember even watching like Raising Arizona when he's running around. It's like
he's never a runner.
Yeah, it's like his legs are like it's so painful just to lift one up and put the other down.
It's tough. So he goes home and his wife's like, "Where's Charlie?" He's like, "I don't know where Charlie is, Charlie." And she's like, "You left him?" And he's like, "Yeah, I guess I did leave him." I guess
you put it like that, yes.
Yeah, so he runs back to the carnival. And then it cuts to later on, and the cops are talking to him, and the cops are talking to his wife at home, and Charlie's gone.
Yes.
And then he comes home later, and the cops leave, and of course his wife's disgusted with him and doesn't want anything to do with him.
"You lost our son," and then Nick Cage has a powerful emotional crying moment.
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
It was like...
I think it's funny that they kept him in the cowboy outfit the whole time. I just couldn't take that seriously.
He wakes up on a couch later, and for a second I was like, he looks kind of like Elvis. Like, just something about the...
The sparkly kind of shirt, like, yeah.
Yeah, so
Oh, man.
So he goes to sleep then, and what we get is an obvious dream sequence where...
Because it says dream on his shirt.
Yeah, might as well have. Huh. Where he like, wakes up and he hears... I think he hears a noise in his son's room or something, so he goes up to his son's room and he looks out the window and he turns around and his son's standing there. He's like, "Oh, Charlie, you're back." Oh, and then son's all like, he's like, "The window, look out the window." And Nick Cage looks out the window, doesn't see anything. He's like, "I don't see anything." Like, he's like, "Look again."
That was my favorite part. Why did it just happen the first time?
Just look again.
But then they kept cutting back to the kid. Like, they literally, like, unnecessarily, like, I was like, "Well, wait a minute, is he supposed to be really there?" And they're and they're just reminding the audience that he's not going to disappear again. Because it seemed really weird that Nicolas Cage, like, leaning towards this window. And the music is getting a little scary. And he, like, pushes away the curtains. And the dark cloud starts crawling in. And then it just keeps cutting to random shots of the kid just standing there staring at him. Like, yep, he's still behind him. Yep, he's still there. Yep, he's not going anywhere. I was like, why do they keep doing that?
Jump scare!
Of course.
And then Nicolas Cage wakes up a year later.
Yeah.
Did he sleep for that whole year?
He must have,
Well, he had time to put together the conspiracy theory board.
I'm so freaking sick of this crap. Does anyone know how to use, like, Microsoft Excel or PowerPoint?
No, it's got to be a cork board. It's got to be, you
know. No, it's got to be strings attaching.
It's got to be 6 feet by 4 feet.
Every time I see a movie now and see one of those boards, I get more and more angry.
Yeah. That's the only thing that's keeping the twine business going these days.
Rage-inducing.
But he didn't use the board. He never went back. You never saw that board again.
He uses his laptop. Well, basically, he's like investigating like like sex offenders who were out of jail who lived in the surrounding neighborhoods at the time of the carnival. And he's trying to, like, figure out if some of them, or one of them at least, took his son.
Yeah.
But he's kind of gone crazy, and he's got, like, his own apartment, and it's implied that his wife kicked him out, and he's just kind of, like, losing sleep, and he's got his conspiracy board.
And he doesn't use... I should have
tried that. It's kind of like a vision board, but, yeah. You know...
So
is this just an easy plot device? Like, rather than actually show what he's been doing, it's like, oh, put that board there, and everyone will assume he's working really hard.
If you looked at the conspiracy board, it was literally just missing children posters, like, of his son, and there really wasn't anything else informative on it.
Later, we see him putting up missing child posters. Like, all right, I'm going to put one up. I'm going to put another one up right next to it.
Yeah, it's like two on every pole. He's like one right next to each other.
I like how he was like stapling them to metal poles too.
Hollywood. Why isn't this stain?
Ding!
Damn it.
I don't know why I won't staple.
Jack Nicholas Cage impersonation is slowly molding with Elvis's now. You've created a monster.
Who was wearing that sparkly shirt?
What's in the bag? A shark?
We created a monster! Anyway.
So Nick Cage, he goes back to work.
Summer lights gonna set my soul, gonna burn my soul on fire.
See, I
hunk a hunk a burning wicker man.
I'm gonna spend the rest of the episode just thinking of Raising Arizona, but with Elvis instead.
Yeah.
I think Elvis would have been good in Raising Arizona if he were still alive. Or is he?
No, he's not.
He died. No, I'm sure
I think Elvis would have been good in Raising Arizona.
Well, there would have been at least a song in the movie, you know, like
called Raising Arizona.
Raising Arizona, woo, something like that.
Yeah, not something like that, but sure.
Anyway,
so, Nick Cage.
Anywho, we're gonna put Jack in a glass box now. That sounds.
My impersonations are not always.
That's how good this movie is. We're trying to talk about anything but this movie.
So Nick Cage goes back to work, and he's sitting with German Gwyneth Paltrow again, and
she's like, "How are you holding up?" And basically, she's like, okay.
I just had a quick question.
Yeah.
He's still at the same university, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why does it look he's teaching in a high school?
Yeah,
now?
He went from like a college, like
you lose your kid, you lose the good lecture halls.
So yeah.
But he's tenured now, right?
It did look, because then like even like a bell rang.
I thought it was gonna be like, oh, he lost his job and he's teaching at like a community college or high school now, and he's like not motivated. But yeah, then the next scene they go to German Gwyneth Paltrow and
budget cuts, man.
You know why? Because Mark Wahlberg and Al Pacino took all the good.
They're all what if they're all in the same school? Yeah.
That'd be awesome. He'd be walking down the hall. He just passed by like Al Pacino's room. He's yelling at the kids about Mariner scores.
Yeah.
And he passed by Wahlberg's.
Mark Wahlberg's berating his students. You're too damn good. You suck because you're so good. You walk past the other. What's the Mariner score? Huh? You tell me now. And then he just goes into his own. All right. I'm gonna read your story now. If you just wanna. You
okay,
know.
I'm lost.
There's also like four kids in his class too now.
Yeah, that's what I was doing, like, the most popular
That's
professor.
What I was confused by.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of places, like, once they get tenure, they don't care anymore.
Yeah. He just lost his essence.
His kid wasn't the only one lost, all right? He lost his students, too.
That's true.
Yeah. I keep losing my students.
Can't overlook
the damn drugs. It's going to turn into one of those, like, Teacher Saves the Students movies.
Like The Substitute?
Like The Substitute, exactly. Yeah, like The Substitute.
Stand and deliver.
Yeah.
So, now where does it go now?
Where does it go now? I have no idea.
Okay, so he's
walking down the street.
Yeah,
the scene with the German professor basically implies, like, why does he still have his job? Because she says something like, you know, you could take a few more weeks off or whatever. We understand. Yeah. We'll help you out. And he's like, no, I got to get back to work. And
yeah, it's almost Halloween.
Now he's going to find... Yeah, he's going to find his wife and try to reason with her because he's been having visions of his son and he wants to know if she's having them too. And she reluctantly agrees to
the coffee
shop.
Yeah, no, that
right?
doesn't happen yet. Because first he's walking, he's walking down the street. He's putting posters up.
Oh, he sees him on the bus. That's right. Okay.
He hears like someone in the distance like yelling Charlie's name for some reason.
I think it's him still echoing.
No, he's saying Charlie. That's why it was weird because like, someone's yelling the name Charlie.
It was Charlie. It was Charlie the Hangman. He was upset about that high school.
Why would someone be yelling Charlie? I didn't understand that. So, but then the bus passed by and he looks at the bus and he sees Charlie on the bus.
And then there's like this epic chase scene with Nick Cage keeping up with a city bus somehow.
It's a very long chase scene too. For
despite the fact that like you
stop the bus, Charlie, stop the bus.
We've established that his running is labored at best. He still manages to keep up
long with strides
with the bus, and then finally get
the
on.
The power of a father's love for his child.
Also, this is where it didn't make any sense that his
wouldn't
iPad
they throw him
was
off the bus. Because he just gets on the bus and runs to the back looking for his kid.
It's New York. It's New York.
They've seen crazier things.
But this weren't making sense for to have his eye patch painted on, because it's like a year later and his eye patch is still painted on. Like, Nick Cage thinks that he would still have his eye patch painted on. I don't know. If he's wearing an eye patch, then maybe, you know, he's still in his costume, but it just seemed weird.
Yeah, but you'd think that the eye patch would be the first thing to go. The depth perception is pretty important. Well,
maybe that's why they painted on then.
Yeah. What do you mean depth perception? That makes sense.
Oh, if you have one eye.
If they put a real one on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's why they painted it on, I think. Because they didn't want the kid to, like, run into a wall.
All those action scenes that this movie had.
So he's on the bus, he's yelling for Charlie, and of course Charlie's not there, and so he gets off the next stop, and he just happens to be this, like, I don't even know what it is.
Why is this even a bus stop? Building. It's like
He wanders in, doesn't he wander into, like, industrial a homeless place? Like, he follows, like, the sound of the crying or whatever.
No,
right? There's a big vulture.
Oh, it's the
vulture.
He sees a vulture, he looks at the building, and on the building is painted, graffitied, "Pay the Ghost."
Which, of course, he remembers, that's what his son said.
Like, oh, yeah, that's right.
And so he just waltzes in, like, no big deal.
I love, too, how, like, polite he's being as he's walking through this homeless, like, shanty town. He's like,
just very nonchalant.
Excuse me. Anybody help me? Excuse me.
You know what "Pay the Ghost" means? Some guy's, like, limping and twitching.
And everyone's ignoring him until this, like, blind homeless guy comes out.
Who obviously has the forethought to light a torch for Nicolas Cage.
Well, yeah.
It looks like a gigantic match,
just
doesn't it, this torch?
Yeah. Just because he's blind doesn't mean he can't be thoughtful.
Right.
Yeah, but apparently homeless guys just have, like, torches on standby.
Like, literally, it's like a gothic movie. Like, he's got his torch to go through the catacombs.
And he looks like some kind of knockoff Mickey Rourke. Like, from, like, The Wrestler or
Iron
Man 2.
Mickey Rourke stand-in.
They could have afforded Mickey Rourke for this, too.
That's
probably.
These days. But while he's down there, too, he hears, like, this, like, a woman, like, crying or screaming. It's like everyone's, like, freaks out for a second, stops what they're doing, and then it stops. And he's like, "What was that?" And this homeless guy's like, "Ah, we don't know. It just happens." So
it's just one of those things. That
you know what? You know what? When you're living in a shanty town under a subway in New York City,
screaming.
You hear screaming.
Yeah. So he asks this guy, he's like, "Oh, do you know what Pay the Ghost means?" He's like, "Oh, follow me." And he, like Kelly said, he lights a torch and, like, brings him to a wall that says it has, like,
and
"Pay the Ghost."
Then they beat the hell out of Nicolas Cage, steal his money, kill him.
No.
In the movie.
If it was a real world, that's what would have happened. So, but Nicolas Cage, like, looking at this wall, and he's like, there's a shot at him, and behind him you see, like, the ghost pop up behind him or whatever and go away. And the homeless guy's like, "Oh, you gotta go now. Time's up."
I'm sorry, our time is up.
Yeah.
But I want to know more about Pay the Ghost. Nope.
Yeah. And end scene.
I'm going to ask a question about this wall at the end of the movie.
Oh, yes. This is very confusing.
Yes.
This whole thing.
Yes.
So this is when now he goes to his wife's house.
A homeless guy, I heard screaming, there was a homeless blind guy who could see, and I saw Charlie on a bus. And she's like, "You're crazy."
She doesn't believe him. Cause he's like, don't you think maybe he's reaching out to us? It's possible. And she's like, "No, you're crazy. I see him all the time too. It's in my imagination. I miss him, blah, blah, blah." So she leaves, and that night she's like, wakes up and she hears something downstairs, and she goes down and she sees Charlie's, like, razor scooter, like, just scooting across the apartment on its own.
Conveniently, she sees the ghost the night after. You know, Nicolas Cage tells
her. Why does, like, Charlie?
And then she shows up at his apartment. Yeah. "I need you now."
Why does Charlie, like, appear in person to Nicolas Cage, but then, like, with his mom, he just, like, pushes a scooter around? Like, what is he trying to accomplish?
Well, she's very fragile. She's clearly, you know, gonna fall to pieces in any moment. So he was understanding that his father is, you know, more capable of handling these bizarre images. So he was being considerate and said, "Well, I think I'll just push him a scooter and that'll be enough to get her to where she needs to go," which is the next scene.
That was a very logical explanation, Jack. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. But it was because it's like, you know, this happens a lot in movies where it's like, you know, the wife blames the husband for losing the kid, and then, or like, even horror movies, like, something, yeah. So, you know, one character's like, oh, this is going on, and the other one's like, no, that's crazy, and then slowly they kind of come to their side, but in this one,
it's all it took was a scooter.
Just a scooter, and she's like, oh, I believe, I'm totally
listening. I'm all in.
On board.
Yeah, come back to the house.
Well, then there's also the scene, I think, before she goes to the apartment where he goes to the police station. Oh, yeah, he berates
the police officer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. And let's get this.
Yeah. Berates. I totally forgot.
We're not lazy.
Yeah. This whole detective character was like, by the end of the movie, it's completely pointless. Yeah. Because Nicolas Cage goes into this detective and he's like, you guys are lazy. You're not looking for my son. And he's like, oh, we look every day. We check this database and that database and blah, blah, blah. And
you're not doing enough.
Yeah, and so you're led to believe that this cop will eventually figure things out, but no.
So, that scene goes absolutely nowhere because at the beginning of the scene, you think like, okay, Nicolas Cage is kind of trying hard to find his son. You think the cops are probably trying decently hard to find the son.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Nicolas Cage accuses the cops of not trying hard. And the cop pulls out, like, all these files and says there's, like, all these files on the computer and he checks every day. And then they're like, okay, so we've established that I'm trying hard and you guys are trying hard.
Well, let's try hard.
All right. See ya. Break.
Find my son.
Like,
try,
okay.
Try hard with a vengeance.
Like, honestly, what did that scene entail?
There was also a moment there where the cop, like, kind of accused him of being involved. He's like, you're the last one seen with him and... I thought that was going to go somewhere, but he never really goes. Like,
so much of this movie just goes nowhere.
Yeah, it's like they keep kind of giving you little threads.
It could be like I'm Captive, right? Where, you know...
Well, yeah, that's why
I was expecting. Where he starts to get blamed by the cop, which would have been an interesting plot device.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Expect the unexpected when it comes to paying a ghost.
Now, how
that's
would
what
you,
it says on the
now,
wall.
Now, how would you pay a ghost for the 1640s? I mean, which you wouldn't accept modern currency, wouldn't you?
Apples.
Obviously
loves apples.
Future apples, or how they paid the Native Americans with, like, beads.
There you go. That could work.
Trinkets.
Yeah. No. It's like pay the ghost, but then there's all this fine print at the bottom. Ghost does not accept traveler's checks, Visa, or MasterCard. Diners Club is preferred.
Diners Club.
No, they started taking PayPal.
Oh, did they? Okay, yeah, good. So. She's online. Pay the Ghost is online now.
What's the interest rate of paying the ghost? I mean, the ghost gives you a loan. I mean, what are we talking
about?
It varies
on the season.
Like, are we talking like a 30% interest rate here? Or?
Get 20% off your Pay the Ghost on Black Friday.
Okay, so like at some point after the cop doesn't listen to him, like Nick Cage and his wife are, oh, well, more kids aren't found when they go missing on Halloween than any other place. Ugh. So they've established that there's a lot of missing kids that don't get discovered on Halloween.
At this scene, I'm sorry to interrupt, at this scene when he said pick a date, I was so hoping she was just going to pick a random date like March 27th, 1842. Just to be like, specific. Just to be like an idiot. Like, pick a date. Any date. July 4th, 1776. I don't know.
When she said Charlie's birthday, I was hoping he wouldn't know Charlie's birthday because he's such a bad father. You'd be like, pick another date.
Yeah,
our anniversary.
Well, really, any day you pick.
I'm going to do it today. So, yeah, apparently he's done all this research and he's...
Valentine's Day.
He figures out that on any given day when a kid is taken, there's a high chance that they'll be found. But on Halloween, there's many missing children that haven't been found. So that's all.
So that's the first inkling that Halloween has something to do with the disappearance in their minds.
Yes. And then he gives this information to the cop, the detective, and he doesn't seem to care.
Well,
he looks into it, but
Nick Cage and his wife find, they're like, oh, we have this one girl's address. Let's go see her father, who lives in this, the projects in New York City and has an unlocked door.
The absolute cliche of crack den. Like, the guy's got a crack pipe in one hand.
He's got a heroin needle,
He's got scabs.
Yeah, track marks all up and down his arm. And Nick Cage just has no use for preamble here. He just launches right in. Your daughter was taken last year. Just,
I don't know, I was expecting this guy to like shank him or something. He's like, you just busted my apartment talking about my missing daughter?
If Nick Cage walked in here right now.
We think about doing something.
Okay, Nick Cage, you know, invite him on probably, but...
Well, yeah, we're talking about Nick Cage walking in right now. Yeah, we give him a microphone.
Oh, we can't.
Yeah.
We can't deny that.
That would be amazing.
I'd give up my spot. You could
I would definitely give up my spot.
We just make room.
We'll give him a bag with shark in it. I have one sitting right in the trunk of my car.
Do you?
Would you like some shark?
Very generous of you.
Would you like a shark bag?
So this guy, you know, between his like heroin-induced give me money type thing.
That's the first thing he says too. Like he says, "You can't pay me."
You gotta pay. You gotta pay the crackhead too.
Pay the ghost.
Pay the ghost. You're gonna pay the ghost, and I want to get paid too for this information.
So Nick Cage is like, "Oh, this must mean something." So he goes to the detective. He's like, "All these kids are missing on Halloween, and 3/4 of them never come back." And you see the detective, like, after dismissing Nick Cage, say like, to, you know, one of the other sergeants, "Oh, I need all the case files of the children in the last 5 years who have gone missing on Halloween." You think the detective's going to look into it, but...
He looks into one of... Well, the whole messed up thing is, like, if he's going to look into it, obviously he kind of was intrigued by this, but he's still a total dick to him. And Nicolas Cage's like, "Oh, you're a crazy person." And he's like, "Maybe I should look into this." And he's, like, intrigued by it. He's, like, he's being a douche to Nick Cage for no reason.
How do the people that work in, like, missing children units, like, not... make that connection Halloween it's like the night out of the year where kids don't come back?
Well, it's also, we find out later in the movie that every year she takes, the ghost takes 3 kids.
Right.
And I don't know what the statistics actually are for missing children in New York City, but I'm guessing it's far more than 6 go missing every year on, or any given day, as depressing as that is.
Yeah.
Like...
Within this world, no one gets abducted unless it's on Halloween.
Okay, perfect.
So the detective...
Or unless you're Jared Lawner.
The Nick Cage cinematic universe.
Yes.
The vast...
Nick Cage, or not universe. Nick Cage. The detective does look into one of the missing... I don't know why he just picks one, and he happens to pick one that just happened last year.
Because it was at a restaurant, so he's like, "I can get some lunch."
Yeah, get some Chinese.
Do some questioning.
Yeah.
Ooh, so sweet and sour pork.
He just leaves, without asking... "Excuse me, ma'am, I had a question. Are you known for your sweet and sour pork or General Tso's chicken? Because I can't decide for the life of me."
Is fried rice extra?
Does it come with
I'll pay an extra dollar.
And he's leaving, he's like, "Ah, shit." Eh, whatever, next
I'll
time.
Come back for
dinner. Your daughter comes with an egg roll.
So he goes to this Chinese restaurant and asks the woman working there about her daughter, and her the woman tells her that her daughter said something to her before she went missing. Something along the lines of Pay the... I can't remember if it was exactly Pay the Ghost or something, but it was something weird.
And then all of a sudden there's an explosion.
Yeah, like the fire.
Was this supposed to be connected with the ghost?
I think it was just a grease fire.
Coincidence?
It like, happened.
Either way, the cop shields the woman.
A supernatural grease
huge
fire.
Fire.
Yeah.
The cook, though, is just fearless. Just like...
Yeah, I like how the cop's shielding the woman like 20 feet away, and the chef right in front of the fire, is just waving a towel at it.
Just mildly annoyed, like...
It's another Tuesday at, you know, Garden City Chinese restaurant.
So,
if you want to investigate something, you should check out the kitchen. Those guys should be arrested.
So this is where I figure, okay, the cop sees something weird, he's going to come around and believe this is something supernatural.
Sure.
We'll see him again, and he's going to figure this all out.
Well, we will see him again.
Do we see him again?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember if we see him again.
You know, I don't know.
We see him again.
For yet another utterly pointless scene.
Yes. But he never...
Yeah, let's just go there. Right now,
where is that? General,
the fire is going to propel us.
Well, they get Nicolas Cage and his wife get the idea to bring in a medium.
Right.
Well, they get the idea for the medium, he goes to drop her off at the house. Nick Cage dropping his wife off.
Oh yeah.
And that's when she invites. Well, you know, it's your house too, because apparently crack dens are like Spanish Fly for this woman. Yeah. She's just like, "Yeah, I saw some danger today. I need some Nick Cage now, because just." Something about a man just cracked out of his head, turned her on.
I'll show you what's in my bag.
Because she wasn't even subtle about it.
No, and this is kind of weird. Like their son is missing. They're so worried. They've obviously been split up. And now she wants, to
Well, she said, like, "I'll come in and we'll have some dinner and some wine." And
like, it's like, this is not
a romantic evening.
Not an appropriate time. It doesn't sound like.
Is that Nick Cage charisma?
Yeah.
It is.
The ladies can't resist it.
No, I don't think so.
So the kid has this teddy bear and they invite a medium who finally is like, you know, "Oh, nothing here. Oh, the window." And then
I don't know what it is about this window. It's like everything happens through this window. I don't get, and it doesn't go anywhere.
It's a metaphor for the window.
But it's like the one window.
And she, you know, flies up to the ceiling, has, like, fire coming out of her mouth, whatever. Detective thing. He's like, a lot of bad things happen around you.
You're like a one-man dirty duty squad, Cage.
All right, so, basically, the police are suspicious of Nick Cage.
Especially after the
child, goes missing. Yeah. So they show up to this house, and a woman is dead in their home, yeah. And the only two people in the home are Nick Cage and his wife.
Yep. Yeah.
And somehow, this encounter ends with just the police leaving.
Yes. Yep.
The detective does say, you better not be leaving town anytime soon.
And his wife, instead of like the last time where she didn't help him out at all, she's like, you can't think he had anything to do with this.
Only I'm allowed to think that.
Yeah. What did they tell? The kid, maybe. What did they tell the cops? Did they tell them?
Oh, this woman, spontaneously combusted in her apartment.
No, because she didn't like spontaneously combust in the apartment.
No, no, that happens
later.
There
was a scene later where they're doing an autopsy on her.
That's right.
Yeah,
the guy cuts her open and there's like ashes inside.
Yeah, she's just burned on the inside.
Yeah.
This is some trick or treat shit.
Yeah, he shows like I think this is the last time we see a detective. He shows the burned insides.
He doesn't follow up on anything.
Another scene that went nowhere.
He like looks at this impossible thing.
He's just like, oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Well, this city, she must have ate that hot pepper and then okay. And he like leaves.
How does this not end with Nick Cage getting arrested or the especially, wife or someone?
Especially at the end when he shows up with the missing kids. It's like then you would think the cops would be like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You have your kid. You're telling some story about a subway and a ghost world and I think he had the kid the whole time.
Yeah, this scene just blew my mind.
Yeah. So
honestly, what did they tell the cops?
I don't know. What could
there's
they?
Three people in the room and one person ends up dead.
So
we
then,
found her like that.
after that
and
happens,
they called her to the house.
And it was obviously there was a struggle in the room.
and from the outside it might seem that they're mentally unstable because of the reason why they called her to the house.
So after that happens, they have like, you know, they go up to bed like nothing happened, and then Nick Cage, well, he's sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, he's trying really hard to get in the bed, though. He's like, I guess I'll be downstairs sleeping.
He's like, head linging by the door. He's like, no, I guess I'll go to the couch and sleep.
She's like, I guess you will.
Yeah.
Her couch, changed pretty quick.
That's where I'm going to go.
She gets turned on by a crackhead, but is instantly turned off by telekinesis fire death. So
you need a glass of water that I could
bring back to you?
Bring back and put it right by you on your nightstand.
Nope. Do you want me to...
Oh, wait, hold on. Yeah, what?
I just remembered something. Oh, never mind.
He's just... Yeah, it was like some serious lingering.
Yeah.
And then he hears a Nick weird Cage noise. He sees his wife sitting on his son's bed, and then the jump scare, her head like turns around, and she's talking as if she's his son, like, Daddy, help me! And then she carves something into her arm with scissors. And
yeah, I don't know why the kid just didn't tell him where
yeah,
he
if
was.
It was the son, why didn't, like, they just get, like, something to write it down? Like, he really had to make his mom, like,
or just say it. He was talking.
Carve a symbol into her arm with a pair of scissors.
And, like, she totally believed when she, you know, snapped out of it. Oh, what happened? You carved yourself with scissors, and she didn't think,
as
like...
As he's holding the bloody scissors above her.
Yeah, I'm like, she didn't question this at all.
Imagine that the cop comes in, he's like, hey guys, I just wanted to... Don't be leaving town anytime soon. No, you don't understand.
I'm mildly suspicious.
They restricted just this one part on
it. You know, there's a shadow of a doubt here.
I also like that when she's like bleeding all over after carving into her arm with these crappy scissors... Nick Cage, the only thing he does is run to the medicine cabinet. And instead of, like, you know, putting pressure on it or anything, he just dumps an entire bottle of antiseptic on it and wakes her up. He's like, you were cutting yourself!
Yeah,
stop cutting yourself. Stop cutting yourself. Stop cutting
yourself. So they decide to figure out what the symbol means. It's like two crescent moons on the side of, like, a full moon or, you know... It's this weird symbol. So, of course, they go to the German professor.
The symbologist.
Yes, who...
consult the Internet Mythological Database.
Yeah, and she really doesn't figure anything out.
Well, she finds out
that
there was
it's like a Celtic thing.
And there was some legend of a woman. And I think this is when you get, like, the backstory.
Something, yeah. Well, but she, no, she didn't get that over
the phone later, because first they go to, like, the Wiccan ceremony.
Yeah, she figures out it's something, it has to do something with this Celtic
thing. That's what it is. They're talking about Samhain.
No, I'm just laughing at the scene.
Yeah.
Oh.
What? It's okay, Jack.
Well, that's the scene! Wait, you think you're better than me?
So, well, go ahead.
Did anyone else think that Celtic Wiccan ceremony or whatever, the teacher they wind up talking to, I immediately thought, that could be a Princess Leia costume she's wearing? Because everyone else has, like, these black robes and generic hoods. And,
yeah.
And she's just got this white, she's dressed totally in white, hood up, and it looked like Carrie Fisher,
yeah,
in the first shot in Star Wars.
I also like how they're like, oh, there's this old church. They still practice the old ways. Like, no big deal. These people are, like, having, you know, pagan rituals on Samhain.
Yeah, like, it's New York.
Yeah.
You know,
this is where it almost slipped. This almost slipped into Wicker Man, too, because they're all...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was totally thinking it was Wicker Man.
Hoping to God that he was going to run up, punch someone in the face, and then pull up a doll and scream, how did it get burned?
Yeah, they were burning the dolls.
Well, I like how...
This is how the dog got burned. His question was answered all these years later. And that's why Nicolas Cage did this movie.
I think it's funny how unhelpful the main Wicker lady was they go there.
Well, she's more helpful than the teacher was, though.
Well, he runs up to her, and he goes, our son went missing. He just immediately starts blurting out the story like he does to every character in this movie.
She's like, hi, my name's Nick.
My son was taken a year ago. There was a ghost. He said, pay the ghost. That was every interaction he has.
Lady would immediately jump on it and not think he was, like, ridiculous.
Well, he blurts it out to her, and she goes, I'm a teacher at
school.
But then it follows up, and it turns out she knows the whole backstory after all. And I'm just a teacher. Well, actually, you see, in 1679... there was this woman that...
His wife is, like, totally okay. I carved this into my arm last night. Like, what does this mean?
For one, when you're dressed up in a white robe and children are in weird, creepy bunny masks burning dolls, like, you can't open up with, oh, sorry, I'm just a second grade teacher. I don't know anything about this. And yeah, like, as Nick says, then it turns out the whole reason they're burning these dolls is exactly to ward off this ghost that Nick Cage is asking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just a teacher. I don't know anything. Well, except exactly.
The reason we're here is exactly the reason your child got taken.
Since we're running into the last 20 minutes of this movie, let me provide some exposition.
So basically the story is back in the day, the original New York colony, this woman came over. She's this Celtic woman with her kids.
And her apples.
Everyone thought she was a witch, so they burned her
because of her huge apples. She didn't get influenza.
Oh, that's
it. I kind of drifted out of this point, so
I didn't even realize that. They thought she was a witch because she didn't get sick?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep.
Why? Sucks to have a good immune system back then, huh?
Sturdy Celtic immune system.
So they burned her, and that's what the scene was in the beginning of the movie.
They took her kids and burned them in front of her three children.
And then killed her.
She's like, I'll take three every year now.
Yeah. So the ghost comes back, takes three kids every year, and so these kids in this ritual are burning dolls as a sacrifice so they don't get taken.
I don't think that's going to work.
And then it didn't work with Charlie.
And then the German lady calls back. She's like, I found the records. This is her name, which you don't even, like,
it doesn't matter.
It's inconsequential. And then she walks, you see the German lady kind of walking out of her office, looking around like it's night, and then boom, out a window.
Did you get pushed out by a bird, too, or something?
I laughed like a jackass at this. I was just, like, 30 seconds of just gut laughter.
And the whole time, well, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, why did the ghost pick her to kill?
Well, that's it. It doesn't make any sense.
Like, why wouldn't you just kill, like, Nicolas Cage? Like, if the ghost has the power just to, like, push people to their deaths?
Yeah.
Well, why kill anyone if she's already stolen the kids?
Well, what I figured was, because, you know, when she's alone,
getting too close, Jack.
When she's alone in the school researching the ghosts, it's obvious the ghost is going to kill her. She's alone at night in the school. So I figure the ghost is going to kill her before she can tell Nicolas Cage what is going on.
Well, then
he already tells her him, and then she already tells him, and then the ghost kills her.
Yep.
And it's like, well, that didn't really help you at all, ghost.
Nope.
I also thought it was obvious that the police inspector would come back into the movie, but that didn't happen.
I guess another point we should make before, like,
we get to the exciting conclusion.
Yes, is that the Princess Leia lady said, after a year. You know, the children that have been taken the previous year have a chance to come back and
the next Halloween.
But only the ones who have been taken the year before.
Yeah, this
it's kind of like a warranty.
There's a statute of limitations.
It's a one-year warranty.
This was thrown in last minute, so Nicolas Cage doesn't look nearly as much like a douche at the end of the movie.
No,
yeah, pretty much.
He does. He looks, he looks just as much like...
So as he's talking, she's like, oh, you have to find the portal... where the portal opens every year and
it closes at midnight. He's like, we've got 2 hours.
Yeah. So
she's like, you'll hear her screaming around it. He's like, that must be the lady or the thing that the homeless people were afraid of.
So he knows where the portal is. So, but before that, a bird flies at the cab they're in and crashes the cab.
Yeah. There, first of all, it's New York on Halloween, and the street is completely vacant except for this, vulture. Like, turkey vulture that flies right into the cab and kills the driver.
Why didn't the ghost just like push the cab into a building and just end it all?
Yeah, that's true.
So they're getting checked out by paramedics, and
this scene is awesome.
Nick Cage, you know, his wife is like, "Charlie needs you. Go!" And he's like, "Ooh!"
That's running.
You're like, "Hey!"
It's a pretty funny shot of him running too. He's like,
he's just standing there. Everyone's just standing there, and he just breaks out into a sprint.
It's not like he was under arrest or anything. There's no reason for him to like run. He should have been just like, "I have to be somewhere," and just like
2 hour limit. Yeah, okay. It was like 10 o'clock. He had till midnight.
Yeah, it's not like a paramedic's gonna like restrain him.
Yeah, he's like running away from them, like they're gonna stop him. It's like it's okay.
The paramedic's like, "Hey, yeah, whatever." Yeah. Says he's
still
the one bleeding.
The craziest thing we saw today.
He loves to run.
So he runs to the...
We have a fire at the Wiccan Pagan Festival on 5th Street. God damn it.
So he runs to the abandoned building shantytown.
Yes.
Thing. And he finds the same blind guy. Man.
Yeah, like everyone's gone except the one blind guy.
With his flashlight.
Yeah.
Who happens to have a flashlight in his
for
pocket.
Some reason, yeah. And wants Nick Cage's watch. And then he shows him where the wall... where he brings him back to the wall. Which is actually the portal. And there's like a bridge. It's like
anything's possible with make-believe.
It's true.
Any wall can be a portal.
There's like a bridge going into the darkness.
Into the abyss.
So he gives him a flashlight. He's like, you'll need this more than I do. Well, no kidding. You're blind, but why do you even have a flashlight? Just for special occasions.
It's probably the guard of the portal. Like
It's like having guest towels.
I scavenge stuff. I just walk around and pick it up.
That's also kind of a douche thing to do to take his watch when like he has to be back by midnight.
It'd probably be helpful to have his watch.
Was there any explanation for taking the watch?
He just wanted to hear it ticking. I don't know.
He probably just wanted to sell it and make money. That's how. Like you pay the homeless guy before you pay the ghost.
Everyone's getting paid.
This is like some serious.
The shocking prequel to Pay the Ghost. Pay the homeless man.
He crosses the bridge and you see the house that. Previously, you know.
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about that.
He was looking back at footage of his kid at the parade. Never saw the, you know, stopped it before the ghost. But then it turned on by itself, and you see this little cottage in the dark, and blah blah blah. And he's like, "Ooh," you know, recognizes the cottage he saw on the little camera screen.
But first he sees a kid standing in the field, and he, like, touches the kid and bursts into flames.
Yeah.
And you see, like, a quick, like, flashback to them being burned at the stake for some reason. It's like, yeah, they got burned at the stake.
Yeah, we understand what's
so
happening.
So he goes to the fruit cellar where you would expect to find very large supermarket apples.
And he says
what a letdown.
Yeah, instead he finds just ghost children.
Yeah.
There's, like 500 kids down here.
No, there's, like... It's like an army of dead kids.
Well, if it's like three a year, it's been...
350 years?
Something like that, yeah.
340, yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. About 1,000 kids.
Mm. How did they all fit in the little basement, though?
It's a ghost basement.
It's a magical basement. It expands. It's bigger on the inside.
I guess so. Endless. So he's like, which one of you is Charlie? And every kid raises their hand.
Well, it's like, why does he have to ask? It's his son, right? Which one of you is Charlie? There's like 1,000 kids. Yeah, but you can just call out Charlie. Imagine trying to find
one kid in a group of 1,000.
Now, I wonder why Charlie... Now, Charlie's all like creepy and ghosty and like raising his hand until he gets there. And then all of a sudden, he's a normal kid. Dad, oh my God, you're here to rescue me. Now, why didn't he just say, Dad, I'm over here.
Yeah.
And by the way, why don't you take all of these children out of the portal with you?
Well you they're can. The
after
only
a year, Jack, those are the rules.
The only kids that are solid are the ones that are eligible for release.
He couldn't grab the other ones. They're ghosts. So he just grabbed those three and ran.
Which is going to make him look even more suspicious when all is said and done. They'd only
he comes
three
back with the other kids, too. That's his own. So, and they don't remember what happened.
So he goes, he grabs the... You know, his son, he's like, Charlie, he's like, these kids came in with me. Can they come too? Okay, stick together.
I feel like Nick Cage definitely had a moment of thought where he was like, do we have to bring these other two kids? Because this could look really bad.
So, like, all the kids...
But okay.
Sorry.
Oh, too bad.
Okay, so they're running back across the bridge, and I don't know if anyone else noticed this, but the kids are holding hands, like, the three of them, and one of them very nearly clotheslines on the bridge.
He's running with the kids, and, like, one's, like, running right at the pole of the bridge.
Yeah, like, they cut away, but, you know, I'm like, this kid, if they actually kept running, would just, like, go... Knock himself out.
That'd be a sad way to go after being rescued.
Oh, we weren't able to save all three kids.
So close.
So they get on the bridge, and they're running across the bridge, and of course the ghost woman pops up on the other side of the bridge. Yeah, Nick Cage has to fight the ghost on the bridge.
Should have been the name of the movie.
I mean, he already paid the ghost. Why does he have to fight the ghost now?
He's trying to renege.
That's why you pay the ghost.
He didn't pay the ghost, though. He's trying to steal
the ghost. That's true. He paid the ghost. Now he's trying to get a refund.
He had to try to borrow money from John Goodman to pay the ghost back. But first he was going to gamble at the ghost casino.
That's a good point.
So he's fighting the ghost, and the ghost has got him like in the air, and they're like it's just struggling. And you see all the ghost children come out of the cottage and wrap him up and attack the ghost. And
like revenge.
Yeah, like every other movie where children die, like, you know, the orphanage and... like, it's an overused
plot. Well, I think everything
the ghosts
in this,
of children.
I don't think anything in this movie wasn't an overused plot device. Everything
except for the
now,
ghost.
Now, if the ghost children could...
No, what was it like?
But even that would kind of remind me of something
trick
else.
Trick or treat, where the kids are on the bus.
No, yeah.
Now, if...
Basically, if there's dead children, they're going to save the day.
If the ghost's children choose this moment to get rid of this ghost, the bad guy ghost, then why didn't they do that before? And say, come on, let's rise up and
because they didn't have a leader in Nicolas Cage.
Nick Cage has opened the cellar.
Galvanize them.
Not only is Nick Cage a charismatic lover, he's a charismatic leader of men and children.
And ghost children.
Ghost children, too. Yes.
That's why you're a strong advocate for Nicolas Cage 2016.
Exactly.
So, you know, they managed to get out, like... And the bridge starts collapsing, of course. And Nick Cage, you know, gets to the end of the bridge. The other two kids are fine. And then he's, like, holding on to his son while being on a ledge. Like, Charlie, I'm not going to let you go.
He's strong, Nick Cage.
He is.
He's, like, holding with one on with one hand onto the railing. And then he's got Charlie in the other. And he, like, with one arm lifts him up.
Yeah. Maybe Charlie's still, like, part ghost, very light.
Yeah, it could be.
Semi-corporeal.
Mm-hmm. So
they probably ate better and pretty healthy on the apples and vegetables of a 1600s diet.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably didn't get sick.
That's true. Yeah. So they get out of the portal just in time. The portal closes. And it just cuts to him just walking into his house with Charlie. Like, it would have been nice to, like, call his wife and be like, hey, just to let you know, I found Charlie. It's just so nice. It's just a shock to her. Because he walks in with Charlie.
Cell
phone. Like, oh, my God, it's Charlie.
His cell phone was probably dead.
Still dead, yeah.
Yeah.
So, she's like, Charlie, where were you? Where have you been? And he's like, oh, I was at the carnival with Dad, and we just got back. And so he doesn't remember anything. And that's basically...
What did he do with the other kids, though? Did he just be like, all right, you guys...
Yeah.
I'm leaving you here. Find
you guys know how to take the subway back. Okay.
These are pretty nice homeless people. They
probably wouldn't give
me any trouble. Look for a blind guy.
That probably would have been a good place to bring the detective back. is to show like what happened to those other kids. But no, you don't see the detective again. So it not just necessary. They just reunite. Charlie doesn't remember anything, and which is gonna be really kind of confusing when he goes back to school and everyone's like, "Hey, weren't you dead last year?"
Did he age at all?
No, he's
no, and he's still got the eye patch on.
That's pretty good. So you basically got like an extra year
painted on patch,
and
but he doesn't even know it.
You know, and then
but it was a ghost.
It's a happy reunion. It's
like 2 months. Last weekend.
The family's together, and then it cuts to like German.
Yeah, no one's
found Gwyneth Paltrow.
No one's found her body yet.
Yeah, and she's being eaten by vultures out, you know, and then her eyes open and they're like all black, like she's possessed. And then.
Sequel.
Yeah.
Like there's no point to it.
Wait, what? I don't think I saw that ending.
Well,
it happened during the credits.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get.
Yeah, you probably turned off right when.
Yeah, I did.
Because it came up like directed by blah blah, blah and then it came went back.
Ah, cram! I wish I had seen that.
Yeah.
Well, I saw the mid credit when they can't decide whether or not to put something at the end of the credits. Yeah.
Yeah, it was dumb. It was pointless. I think she had those stupid arrows in her that had been firing at a.
No, I didn't see that.
So yeah. That means that Charlie did it. Because it was Charlie's gun.
There were like vultures. Standing over her and
yeah, I was just confused.
Nobody keep
watching.
I don't really know.
So what why is they put what would the there. Second movie be called? You got Pay the Ghost.
Well, repay the Ghost.
Repay the Ghost. I see.
Refund the Ghost.
Finance. Loan the Ghost.
So that's Pay the Ghost.
Reverse mortgage the Ghost.
Yeah. Invest in gold. The Ghost.
So basically, the only reason that cop character was in there. Was because they realized they had to show that there was some sort of police investigation for a missing child.
I think they realized we need an extra 10 minutes to hit the hour and a half mark.
Yeah, so. I feel like...
Because legitimately the last thing you see from him is investigating a body where the insides have been completely burned out.
Yeah.
And he basically went on vacation. He's like, yep, okay, I'm done.
It's not for me. Yeah, I mean, he really doesn't... I don't know if they just forgot about him when they were writing script or they had more and just cut him out. I don't know, but it was...
Look, what was the point of their whole relationship?
It's a question that I have. It's a question I have with every ghost story: is how at the end of the movie, it's always something like, you know, the pull away crane shot of the house and the lead character like wrapped in a blanket going to the ambulance and the ghost is destroyed.
Every ghost movie.
Well, any horror movie, like right? And now, how do the cops believe these stories? Right? Like,
well, that's why I figured he would be there.
Oh, a ghost! It was a ghost, sir. Yeah, right. You're fired. You know, like, no one would believe this except for the few characters who experience it. Always is a question that hits my mind when the ghost story
like
that's
the original
breaks
Poltergeist.
It. Yeah.
Good movie.
Sure.
I want to see what happens 5 minutes after it ends.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see, hey, Craig T. Nelson, where's your house? Like, there's no rubble, there's
yeah,
no...
Yeah, yeah.
It was right there. I
no, it's not. It. Aliens. It was aliens.
So,
I'm not saying it was aliens.
Ancient alien burial ground.
Oh, do we have a game at the end for this?
This movie was so dull. I don't know if there's any stop the movie anything. Any questions?
I did find one interesting fact, not about the movie.
No, I figured.
But about the director. The director's name was Uli Edel. Apparently shot a movie that was nominated for a Best Foreign Language Oscar in 2008.
Mm.
What language?
German.
Okay.
Oh.
Der Bader-Meinhof Complex.
Interesting.
Ooh.
Yes. That was the only thing even remotely close to interesting I found out, though.
Yeah, this movie was pretty dull.
I didn't
boring.
Find out what type of apples those were.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and research.
They're probably research Red it. Delicious apples, which... Yeah. Is a lie because red delicious are awful. Good.
They are. I call them red disgustings.
Well, they're not that bad.
No, I'm not a fan.
They looked like Jonagolds to me.
This is getting very fruit nerd right now.
So, maybe they're Honeycrisps.
Yeah.
Yes. Zestars.
Ooh, nice.
So hopefully next time we do a Nick Cage movie, it'll be a little more crazy, but there wasn't any good Nick Cage
freakouts or anything. No, there wasn't, really. A couple of funny running scenes. But apart from that, he was keeping it under. He was
the sobbing
under the
cowboy
line.
Was
but
somewhat enjoyable. Yeah. But
he wasn't.
Oh, that's my favorite bar here in town, the sobbing cowboy.
So,
I mean, the rest of the movie was completely forgettable and dull. And
it wasn't even... It was bad, but not in a... an awful, like, oh, this is entertaining. It's, it was just forgettable.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, everything about it was just forgettable.
I already forgot about it. What were we talking about?
Exactly.
I'm talking about Play the Host. It's a movie.
The new theme of the podcast is Play the Host.
You'll get your shot next week, Jack.
Yes. I will.
Don't you worry.
I will.
And Jack's coup d'etat.
Yes. So, as Jack mentioned earlier, Brian Mueller will be leaving the podcast.
Physically. I'll be like a ghost where, like, when you try to touch my hand, it won't be there.
I always try to touch your hand during the podcast.
I've noticed. That's why I'm leaving.
Yeah. That's why he was banging on the table earlier. Yeah.
Well, we weren't banging on the table.
No.
But I will Skype call in.
We're going to set up a Skype.
And no one will ever know.
Nope. Hopefully it'll be seamless and it'll seem like you're here with us. Right?
We'll have a cardboard cutout made. Yes. They'll be like standing here next to the old cardboard cutout of Andy Wolf.
Yeah. You are not going the way of Andy Wolf and leaving us completely.
I'll be more real than your father.
Andy Wolf lives half an hour away and he can't make it. So, and as we said earlier, Alex won't be here for a while, so it'll be Jack and I are the only regulars left in studio.
Aren't you lucky?
But we'll hopefully have Nick Neuer back a bunch and some other guest hosts.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like the last second like fill-in.
Yeah, you were here, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, pull some guy off the street. Oh, here's Kathleen.
That could be interesting. Pull someone off the street.
Ooh, that is a good idea.
Have them watch the movie and then immediately afterwards record a podcast.
Well, that's a lot of time investment. I think that's called kidnapping.
we'll let him go when we're done.
No, this isn't an we'll just
say
movie.
We'll just say
there
ghost
are legal ramifications.
So we'll have some guests coming up, and I think our next I'm not sure, Brian probably won't be joining us on the next one because it's a little soon.
Yes,
we'll be doing.
Yes. I was awfully enthusiastic by Jack.
Well, he's very excited about
it.
Yes! He's one less regular. He has that much more power.
He's more excited.
I mean the movie.
He's more excited about the movie.
Not the lack of Brian, it's the movie.
We'll be doing, for the holiday season, we'll be hopefully doing the Star Wars holiday special.
Yes!
Since it is both the holiday. Good. Yeah, that was, you have to join us for your.
That was a good bookie.
Well, it'll be both for the holiday season and the upcoming Star Wars film, and it's coming
out.
That's
right, so. And it is abysmal. I do own a copy, but you could find it online really easy.
Yeah, it's a good thing you guys are doing that, because I don't know if the word's out yet on the Star Wars movie.
And whether it's...
No, I don't think people know it's coming out.
It's a little below the radar.
To raise awareness.
So, yeah,
that's true.
So there's this thing called Star Wars. You may have heard of it.
Yeah.
I don't think people have. That's what I'm saying. So I'm glad you guys are doing that.
So Nick will be back for us or with us for that one. We'll have another guest. And looking forward to that episode. I don't know. So is there anything else we can add?
No, nothing right now.
Anything else,
Nick? No. No, I'm going to go down the subway and do some graffiti, some Pay the Ghost.
Pay the Ghost, yeah.
Tributes.
So as always, you can check us out at stopthemoviepodcast@podbean.com. Mm-hmm. And you can check some of us on Twitter. We're at @windupfilms. This is the main page. And I think that's about it.
Yeah.
So we will see you next time.
Fantastic.
Bye.
Oh, my.